Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. It is 2020, in the year 3535, if man is still alive.
Which is dubious.
Pastor Steve, have you turned 60 yet?
No, sir, I have not, but I feel, I have the body of an 80-year-old, so I'm pretty good.
Okay, nice. Remember the bionic man?
Yeah, I like some bionic knees.
They did everything in slow motion kind of thing, and then they had the bionic woman. It was a
$6 million man, $6,000 man. They just put them together with, rubber bands and baling wire.
No, I don't think we really are attractional enough to some of our missional listeners because we're just stuck in the 70s and all that stuff.
I'm not really stuck in the 70s, but I know some of your, when you kind of go back to the 60s for some.
You know what just popped in my mind? I think this was 70s, but it could have been late 60s. Cliff Richard, Devil Woman.
That was the 70s. Okay. Cliff Richard had a string of American hits in the 70s. In fact, I tried to find some of them here recently. There aren't too many because he got into some kind of...
He did something bad.
Criminal trouble, yeah. I think it was like a child molestation thing. And so he's not too...
Of course, allegedly. We don't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting to me because, I see there's going to be a Michael Jackson play and stuff like that. And I'm like, there are all these Michael Jackson biopics and everything. And I'm like...
I know.
Come on.
They're doing it for money, and people forget, and it's crazy. I've not watched the Aaron Hernandez Netflix deal. I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, good. Have you been watching anything on Netflix that's any good?
I'm trying to think. Last thing we watched on Netflix, Lost in Space Season 2. Mm. It's a good show.
Is it politically correct kind of thing? Did I hear that?
Is it politically correct? I don't know. I tend to not think about it that way. I mean, the guys tend to be a little macho, and they're not stupid. Although the mom is kind of the brain, but that's okay because she's a scientist and the thing. So,
all right. Well, let's just have kind of like a little speed round here. I say somebody's name or say some organization's name, and then you kind of just tell me what you think. Because it helped John MacArthur's ministry, I think, with the short little sentences, right, with the yeah. Beth Moore deal.
Go home. Just one or two words, you just respond.
Yeah, you could do it like in a sentence or two or even more. Francis right. Chan.
Sad. Very sad. You know, had a thriving church, Simi Valley. I heard a lot of good things about it.
School, good school there.
Yeah.
Lots of good teachers.
With Doug Bookman and some other guys. And it was really going on. And then, I don't know, man. Some people just, it's like, it reminds me of the old Bugs Bunny cartoon where they kind of just want to dive from 500 feet into a cup of water. And that's sort of what he did, or into a wet sponge.
Well, if I had to analyze it just within my theological framework and rubric, he became a little charismatic. God told him to do this, that, or the other. His elders said at the time at Cornerstone Simi Valley, no, he didn't say that. Then God told him to go someplace else, and then off we go. And now I think he wants to be a missionary in Thailand or something.
Well, I mean, after his whole... He's promoted like every false teacher out there, the whole... who are the school prophets there in Kansas City and the whole shooting match.
Bickle.
Yeah, all those guys. I mean, every whack job out there, he's been out there, sharing the stage with them and essentially promoting them and not you know, his last thing, almost his video sounded kind of Roman Catholic.
Oh, that was interesting about his malinformation, his misinformation about church history and the Eucharist and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's terrible.
All right, next, Pope Francis.
Not Catholic.
Speaking of Netflix, did you watch The Two Popes?
No.
I watched the first two-thirds of it, and I was kind of just interested to see a battle of Ratzinger, hardliner, although there's been some movement lately that maybe shows something different, but hardliner Ratzinger and some dude that never really even went to theological school to get a terminal, you know, doctorate degree is now the Pope, and he's a social justice warrior kind of thing.
Well, I think I told you, I read an article, like, I used to read the Weekly Standard when it was in print, and they had a lot of Roman Catholics on staff, conservative magazine, political magazine, but they wrote this thing about the Roman Catholic Church, and essentially they said that Benedict was sort of eased out because he was too Catholic, he was too conservative, and, you know, the powers behind the throne, so to speak, really wanted the church to move in the direction of approving of homosexuals, approving, and, you know, it all begins with divorce and getting that approved. And so they're going to step by step by step liberalize the church. And step number one was getting rid of one of my favorite popes because, not because he's a great teacher, but because he had the courage to be Catholic. And I'm like, let's not blur the lines. Let's keep it, you know, clear here. One side is in favor of the gospel. The other side is not. Thank you.
Dare to be a Daniel.
Dare to be a Catholic.
Courage to be a Catholic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Envy to be an Episcopalian. I'm going to have to reread this book, but it made me think of when they got rid of Ratzinger. Is that what he goes by now? What's he go by? Pope Emeritus?
Ratzy. Yeah, I think Pope Emeritus.
Pope Emeritus?
Yeah.
Does he have any power with Pope Emeriti status?
I think he can bind and loosen what happens like within the what do you call the little area of the papacy? No, he can't do anything. He has no power whatsoever.
Okay, could he order a pizza if he wanted and a gelato be sent to him?
Maybe.
I hope to be in Rome for our anniversary this fall. I'm going to speak in Germany, and then I'm going to have Kim fly out, and we're going to go to Rome. So maybe I'll set up a little meeting, talk to the Swiss Guard, and see.
See if you can talk to Ratzy?
I think it was Mike Gendron, who, when he went to Rome, he went to the Swiss Guards and asked if he could have a meeting with the Pope.
Oh, sure. And they said, tell you what, pal, slip me a 50 in.
And this part is true because I heard Mike give his own testimony. He said that after, you know, decades out of the Roman Catholic Church, he went in for confession and, you know, son, you know, what do you want to confess? And he said, well... before that, they asked, you know, how long has it been since your last confession? And he said, Mike Gendron said, it's been 30 years, I don't know if he called him father or not, but it's been 30 years, father. Why has it been so long? Well, because I started reading the Bible for myself, and I realized that the Bible teaches that you can go straight to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit and confess sins, and you don't need to confess them to a frail man in a box. And Gendron said, the priest said, son, can you please call the office? This is going to take longer than I thought.
Oh, we're going to be slightly extended with this man.
So anyway, what I was going to say is one of the books that I read early on that I loved, it was called In God's Name by David Yallop, Yallop. And the subtitle, An Investigation into the Murder of Pope John Paul I.
Hmm.
And this is the interesting part. When at 7:27 a.m. on that fateful September day, Vatican Radio announced to 800 million grief-stricken Catholics that Pope John Paul I succumbed to a heart attack sometime the previous evening, the cover-up and the true circumstances surrounding his death had already been underway for crucial hours, while a vow of silence was imposed on the members of the papal household. And it's got all this stuff about he was healthy, he'd been the Pope for whatever, 33 days, and delayed or no autopsy. And here's the interesting part. He, if memory serves, Steve, was the social justice warrior, wanted to go away from a lot of the hardline Catholic stuff. And the old school boys said, nope, this isn't going to work. Before you know it, John Paul I is dead.
They pulled the Hall & Oates on him. I can't go for that.
Hall & Oates are coming to
I saw that.
Infinity Center.
And they're going to have like a decent opening act too. Who was it? I don't know.
I don't know, but when I they were playing here locally in the Massachusetts area, but they were not the headliners, and I thought, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But they'd be a good band to see sometime.
Well, the theology is just tremendous.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't go for that.
Back to our name it, and you give me some kind of thoughts. The Gospel Coalition.
Coalition, yes. Gospel, sometimes.
Did you know, I think Julius Kim from Westminster Seminary is now the new president.
Oh, congratulations to him.
I know. Yeah. How's that all going to work out?
Probably about as well as everything else does.
I think Burke Parsons was part of the president's council or whatever the leadership thing, but that didn't last long. Before you know it, you didn't see Burke's picture with the other five leaders. He was just a cropped out picture. So,
because he's too gospel and not enough coalition?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think that thing has run its course, and I don't know if even Julius Kim, maybe it's a different Kim, not the president of Westminster Seminary, but the professor. He's going to go be the president of the Gospel Coalition. Okay, while we're doing these things, let's just keep going. T4G, that's this year.
T4G.
And before you say anything, how many years has it been since we have been? Six? Eight,
oh, longer,
eight.
Longer. What was the first year they had it?
I think we went
the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like maybe, I don't know, what was that? I mean, I have to look at our, you know, my CD collection and I can figure it out that way.
I think the speakers that year that you and I went were John Piper, C.J. Mahaney, Doug Wilson, Francis Chan.
No, you're making it up now.
Matt Chandler and Stephen Furtick.
You know what I remember about Piper? Because he didn't speak till Saturday. I think it was Saturday the last day of it, or was it Friday the last day? Whichever day was the last day, I remember telling you when we were leaving our hotel room, I go, I'm not even going to take my Bible today because I'm lugging this heavy thing around. You know, I've got the study Bible and everything. And not one person has even made me open the Bible. But I also knew that they were giving us a Bible that day, you know. So I went in there and I'm going, I dare somebody to make me take the shrink wrap off this Bible. And finally Piper did. So I was so I will say something nice about John Piper. At least he, you know, made me crack open my Bible. It was utterly Bible-less, you know, for the first couple of days we were there. I was really, you know, plus the cost of it. And what was great about it was the music. I mean, that was...
Did we go once or twice?
Just once, because it was so,
hard to get to.
Yeah.
Newark.
Newark to Louisville, and we basically, I remember saying the only way to get to Louisville is to package yourself and send yourself UPS, because it's a UPS hub, so...
I don't know, when did MacArthur speak?
I don't remember, but it was before Piper, and I remember, you know, they had him... talking on a topic, and I just remember thinking, and listen closely to this, people. I love John MacArthur, but I think John would probably even agree with this. When you tell him to talk about something other than the Bible, he's kind of boring. And he was not talking about the Bible that day. I don't remember what it was. He was talking about somebody or some topic where, you know, the Bible was kind of only...
peripheral.
Yeah, peripheral to his subject. And it was not that interesting. I mean, like, I would say this. If he just taught church history like a lot of people teach church history, he'd be boring. If he was teaching the New Testament, or if he was talking about theological... Now, this is where I think John would really shine. Church history highlighting the theological issues throughout the ages... Whoa.
See, I told you good. You should do that for yourself.
Well, that's what I'm going to be doing.
I just started reading the In the Year of Our Lord.
Yeah. So I'm going to
make sure you get that.
I'm going to use that. And I have one from Michael Reeves. And, you know, then I'll be picking up. So some things from those guys. And then, you know, kind of emphasizing the theological issues as we go through. So.
Okay. Good. Yeah, the Gospel Coalition, the T4G. Remember 2 years ago they had the MLK 50 thing?
Well, that was actually, though,
That was the pre-conference.
Right, or was it a separate, it was a Gospel Coalition event, and then the next thing, like 2 weeks later, was the T4G, and it was kind of a part two of the same thing.
Yeah, David Platt and Amos and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. We've got, okay, I'll just use this for the next name. Next name, Sam Albury.
I would just say misleading. You know, I think he's misleading a lot of people with this kind of same sex attraction thing. You know, this idea that you can, that you're somehow, it reminds me of alcoholism, right? Like you're a victim of some outside force. You're a victim of same sex attraction. And, you know, the best you can do is fight it off, but it's kind of an ongoing struggle for you. And, you know, the Lord can't really deliver you. All you can do is just kind of refrain from acting on your natural proclivity.
Well, I noticed that in spite of Tom Buck's excellent articles about Sam Albury living out and the associations with all that theologically and ministerially, I think that's on aomin.org. I thought Tom did a great job. Sam's still around. I think he's now an associate pastor of some church in the Midwest. And I noticed that he's going to be in the TGC, Gospel Coalition, West Coast speaker. And, you know, they have kind of a regional deal. He's one of the speakers. And there's a pre-conference that he's speaking on, and he's the main speaker for that on sexuality. And, you know, I guess, I don't know, it fits with San Fran, TGC, et cetera. But my big thing with these guys who say, listen, the men that would say, or even women, we're homosexual, we struggle with it, we gave into it, that was our life, that was our identity. The Lord Jesus saved us. We're regenerate, we're born again. We still aren't attracted to the opposite sex, yet we don't engage in sex because we know that's wrong. So it's just abstinence. Of course, I'm happy for people to get saved out of all different kinds of lifestyles, right? 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you, washed, justified, sanctified. I get it, I love it, but here's my big problem, Steve. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians is followed by chapter 7.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, I should be taking notes right now.
No, just think about it for a second, NoCo listeners. Here's all this sexual sin that's going on in 6, 9 to 11. And then he talks about, you know, the excuses that people have for sexual sin, food for the body, body for the food, in 6, 12 and following. Now 7 comes along. What do you tell a person who doesn't have the gift of celibacy, who doesn't have the gift of singleness, who wants to have sex? What do you tell them?
Just don't act on it. No.
Yeah. And isn't that sad? We relegate people now to a life of loneliness, a life of abstinence, a life that's exactly opposite of what they were made for. And that's now we have to have a community of people that have to do the same thing or can't do the same thing. I would say to them, you know what? And I'm not saying the second you get saved and everything's going to change overnight. But I would say, you know what, if you have a desire for sexual relations, A, that's not wrong. It's wrong if it's with someone else of the same sex. But the Bible says get married. Enjoy your wife. And people are like, well, I'm not attracted to a woman. Well, 1 Corinthians 7 says get married. I'll never forget, Steve. I saw this guy. He said, he was giving a testimony, and he's a pastor now. I was gay, had no attraction for any women, and I just lived my lifestyle. Somebody preached the gospel to me. I got saved. I quit all my homosexual sexual activity and thought, you know, I'll probably never get married because I'm not attracted to women. Well, there was this lady at work, and we began to work together, and she was a Christian, and so was I, and we just started having coffee, this, that, and the other. And then he said something so fascinating. He said, I just really liked her, and I had a longing to be close to her. Now, she is his wife. I'm like, wow, how does that work?
It's amazing. It's like God knew something.
I know. So I think it's sad when you got this living out thing, and then whatever else living out promotes, it's just crazy. And this is the new Christianity, though.
It's not helpful, you know, and it basically tells people to stop your sanctification. Stop yielding to the Holy Spirit and just accept who you are, right?
Okay, so let's think about our old school kind of counseling days and even thinking about sanctification and the paradigm of Ephesians chapter 4. Don't steal, work. Don't lie, tell the truth, right? Don't be bitter, forgive. Don't have sex with somebody outside of marriage that's of the same sex, and then we stop.
Right. just stop there. Don't put on. You know, it's just put off. Don't put on. That's legalism.
Well, okay. Let's just tease this out a little bit. Somebody has an arranged marriage, and they think, you know what? My parents love this other family. I don't know really much about this girl. She's not even my kind of type in terms of I like blonde hair, not brown hair. I like blue eyes, not brown eyes. I like a little heavier, not skinny. Whatever the things are, but she is out of this great family, and I trust my parents, and so I'm gonna marry her, and I'm not even attracted to her.
Can't work.
I know.
Impossible.
Okay, so they get married. They say, I do. Does the husband still have to love his wife like Christ loved the church?
Yes.
Okay. Does the husband and wife both have to give themselves of their bodies freely to them in the marital bed?
Yes.
You should see Steve's face.
I'm just going into Jeopardy mode. Yes.
How is Alec? Oh, let's do the next one. Alec Trebek. Is he really a Christian?
Is he?
I don't know. Is he?
I don't know. Why would you even say that?
I don't know. I want him to be.
Well, I do too, considering he's terminal. I saw him, you know, do the greatest of all time Jeopardy here a couple weeks ago. We actually recorded that just to see these guys, and because I haven't watched that show in years. It was interesting, you know, and I don't know if it's makeup or what, but, you know, considering he's allegedly terminal with cancer, he didn't look too bad.
Good. What if I said a denomination, PCA, what would you say?
On the slippery slope. I mean, it's just, so I read something, was it today or yesterday, that said, you know, basically Presbyterian denominations have to split, you know, every so often to just kind of, you know, for the faithful remnant to stay faithful. And I'm like, PCA's heading for one, no doubt in my mind, because there's a bunch in there that want to go to liberalism, and, you know, the believers in there don't.
Well, I appreciate the show PresbyCast, and I learn about NAPARC and PCA and General Assembly and all that other stuff. But it seems to me that if you've got the Missouri Presbytery, I was going to say Synod, but I think that might be
Lutheran. Yeah, that's the Lutheran, yeah.
Presbytery. And they're all a bunch of, are populated by many liberals. And you know, you've got the whole Covenant Seminary and Revoice and everything else there. They're going to have to do something. You know, I've got my friends that'll say, well, we're PCA and our courts move slowly. Well, I know I don't understand PCA courts, but if it takes you 7 years to fire Norman Shepherd from Philadelphia Seminary, there's a problem.
Yeah, well, so, you know, some of these issues are just so complicated. Like, can, you know, homosexuals be pastors?
Dude, once you start a study committee, we like to have a study committee that can women do blah, 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 and what ministerial roles. It's over. Once the study committee's come, it's over. We'd like to take a new look, Steve, at justification by faith alone. We know the church has taught it, you know, since Paul.
But can't we be a little more nuanced?
Uh-huh. Boy, that just so drives me crazy. Study committee. Can you imagine if we got together as an elder board and said, we're going to have a study committee to see if the Bible is sufficient? Because there's some few things that come up, you know, Rob Bell and a few other things, and Bart Ehrman.
Yeah, there's no T.
And so we need to kind Ehrman. Of, we need to look at this.
He's full of errors.
Yeah. Did you see 1917?
No, but I want to.
Okay. I thought it was good.
Did you?
I think I liked Midway better, but it was shot differently, 1917, so it made me like it, kind of a new genre of filmmaking.
We haven't really been, you know, doing the whole movie thing for obvious reasons. You know, Janet was just not really up to it. I went out a few weeks ago with Jonathan Newton. We went to Blackstone Valley. Oh, we're still being recorded. Anyway, they had these, like, couch things. Like recliner chairs and stuff. And I was like, dude, this is awesome.
So I didn't really want to go out last week. I went to the ER one day. I went to church, and who knows where else I went. I think I went four places, but it was Haley's day off, and she's going to work for the next 9 days. So let's all go see 1917. But we went to the movie theater just north of here that has the recliner seat so my leg could be up, because I thought, leg down, sure, knee hurting,
sure,
no way.
Yeah.
So we watched 1917, kind of lounged out.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Theologically sound?
Yeah, I think so.
Lots of depravity.
Oh, I thought it was going to be tons of gore, Saving Private Ryan. But there was gore, but not that much.
Oh, good.
Yeah. All right, Mike Abendroth there, Steve Cooley. We had a little, what should we call today's show?
Tete-a-tete.
Sounds good.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life transforming power of God's Word through verse by verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400.